Hello gamers, and welcome to Is This Game Queer? I'm your host Leo, and I love video games and overthinking things. In this episode we get spooky as we answer the question, is Monster Prom queer? Please note that this game, and therefore this episode, contains mature themes. Basically, if you can think of something naughty or evil, it's probably at least referenced in the game. Listener discretion is advised. Monster Prom is a 2018 multiplayer dating sim by Beautiful Glitch. It's available on PC and Nintendo Switch. In Monster Prom, you play as a monster in a high school for monsters and are trying to get a date for the prom. You can play it single player or in a multiplayer mode with up to 4 players, which has special weekend events that do not appear in the single player game. First, the good. This game relies a lot on its writing, which is fine because the writing is very good. The game plays a lot with expectations on the genre, on video games in general, and various pop culture cliches, especially those related to monsters and horror. There are many jokes that break the fourth wall, which can be annoying to some people, but it fits with the overall tone of the game. Even when various tropes and cliches are used in the game, the characters are aware of this and will comment on the more tired parts of these tropes. And other times, they are played entirely straight, but that's fine because it's about being your worst self. The game calls itself probably the only multiplayer dating sim, and while I can't say for sure that this is true, I certainly haven't heard of anything else. You can't exactly date your fellow players, you all compete for the same monsters, but still, having a multiplayer dating simulator is a pretty novel idea, and it actually works pretty well in this game, though waiting for your turn can get a bit tedious if somebody gets caught in a particularly long or complicated event. The characters all have death. Some of them joke about being very two-dimensional, only to show different interests and sides to their personality. All the main characters have at least some secret storylines, which often show new sides to their character or new ways they interact with their friends. And while they are very different monsters, it's easy to believe that these people are actually friends on at least some level, whether that's human friends is up for debate. I mean, I've never tried to poison my friends, but who am I to judge? Okay, well, maybe don't poison your friends. They are not monsters, I presume. There is a ton of content in this game, especially if you have the second term DLC, which adds even more characters, endings, and different items and routes. This really works well for a completionist such as myself, with the gallery showing all the different endings and scenarios you have actually completed so far. Of course, this can get a little overwhelming, especially since a single run of the game will basically start at half an hour with one player, and a full run is about an hour per player. However, if you like chasing down that one last secret, this game will definitely give you that feeling. And with all the hundreds of events and outcomes, you won't be playing an identical run twice. Not even if you try. Then, they're not so good. Following from the lots of content, this also means that the game can get a bit repetitive. This may sound like a paradox, but while there are plenty of storylines and events, the basic stat-boosting events at every location will start to repeat themselves very quickly. And you will also run to the same common events, especially at lunch, over and over again, depending on which character you are pursuing. In this way, the game really could use a skip already seen dialogue button or something similar. At the moment, there is no skipping outside of the intro sequences. So either you will be seeing the same things over and over and over again while chasing down all the endings, or you will get really good at knowing when to stop button smashing your way through the dialogue when you hit the new page. The gameplay can be a bit complicated at first. Once you realize how the events work, it gets easier. But even so, the choices you have to make are sometimes pretty unintuitive. You may be thinking that you are picking the choice that's more fun, only to find that the game considers it a creative choice, and therefore you fail. In a lot of the events, the only way to find out the ideal choices for your steps and your route is pure trial and error. On one hand, this does give a feeling of discovery and achievement when you finally realize how to get through a particular event or another roadblock towards the ending you want. But on the other hand, it gets really annoying when you are picking what you think is the right choice, only to lose steps and get locked into failure. Also, picking the logical thing will usually not work for you. Monster Prom runs on monster logic, and while it's amusing and well written, it also means that you can't really expect what will work and what will not, or even sometimes which choice will please which character. Monster Prom is about monsters, and it remembers that, and it makes sure that you remember that too. The game has a mature rating, depending on your area, and it really earns it. The characters are all over 18 by design, because the game is all about sex, drugs, crimes, violence, murder, gore, whatever you can think of that might seem evil. The love interests all follow the same pattern. We have the party ghost Polly, who is into any illegal substance she can get her hands on, and also all the freaky sex. Like, all of it. The Gorgon Vera is an aspiring crime lord, and you can even help her build her own crime empire. Damien is a demon with anger issues. Scott is a lovely fluffy werewolf who would never hurt anyone knowingly, but when full moon happens, well, it's not really Scott then, is it? Damien the hipster vampire may be opposed to animal cruelty, but really consuming humans is just good for the environment. They are really getting out of hand. Miranda, the mermaid princess, believes in love and cute things and puppies and getting everyone who opposes her family's genocidal rule disappeared. While all these atrocities are handled with a humorous touch, going way overboard, there's still a lot of things that some players will not be comfortable with. Also, this makes for a slightly imbalanced word building sometimes, when in one event, Damien might be freaking out about hiding a corpse that he definitely did not make, while in another event, you stab and devour a fellow classmate simply to gain more fun. All this is hand-waved away as a aspect of the humorous way the monster world works, but be advised. In a school of monsters, you would think there are very diverse bodies. In a way, this is true, especially the background characters are varied from blob monsters to small Latino magic cats. However, outside the DLC with its robot, every romanceable NPC is conventionally attractive and either slim or buff, with no other basic body types. This is pointed out in the game with a derisive tone, but just hanging a lampshade on the problem doesn't make it any less of a problem. Characters can murder and slaughter and torture and extort their way through masses of innocent victims. They can show up to school high as fuck or sell cocaine to kids, but they can't be plus-sized because that's not cool and pretty. These are monsters for fuck's sakes. Go wild! Everybody here is basically just a classic popular kid from a high school movie with some body paint and maybe an accessory or two. I really wish the game developers had used more imagination here, but at the same time, this is a pretty common problem in this genre, so it's not like I can put it all on this game. Finally, the queer. There are four player characters to choose from, two of whom appear male and two appear female. However, the players can choose he, she, or they pronoun for the character, regardless of which character they pick. And these pronouns are used throughout the game, so it's not just something that shows up in your start screen, but the characters will be referring to you by your chosen pronoun and name. Of course, as this is your dating sim, you can also romance any of the dateable characters with any player character, and this does not affect your chances of actually succeeding in your prom dreams. Moreover, it's not just about you and your romantic conquests. Many of the characters explicitly refer to romancing both sexes. There are non-binary characters and gender non-conforming characters. There are referenced relationships which are outside the heteronormative model. One of the main love interests, Damien, has to biological fathers, which isn't something the game goes any deeper into, because, well, they are his dads, they don't need any other explanation. This is, well, it's really appropriate for a game which is all about having sex and having fun and doing drugs and crimes while you are doing all the sex and fun. but it's still refreshing to see that this game avoids the trap of let's give every NPC a straight love interest if the player character doesn't pursue them, especially. Which is far too common in games with romantic options. All in all, Monster Prom is a great game for anyone wanting to pursue hot monsters, do mischief, or just play as a personification of all things fear. Because ours is cute. However, it is not appropriate for people who might feel uneasy about mature themes and does require a particular sense of humor, or you will be getting very annoyed at all the meta jokes. As always, thank you for listening to me ramble on about Monster Prom.